booth, slides, the people who put the slides together. Please make a point of thanking the people who spend their entire worship time in Children's Church, taking care of our kids and teaching them and guiding them and missing out on these wonderful sermons that Pastor Bob gives and, you know, the mediocre ones you get from me. So please, please say thanks to all the folks who help out in the various ways they do. That's important. So, in the spirit of group participation, you'll remember that last week at Pastor Bob's initiative, he wanted me to introduce the theme for the next several weeks this summer, Living in Victory. And you may recall, if you were here, that Christian living is much more than just getting by. It's much more than just existing. It's living with enthusiasm and zest. You know, the Bible tells us, Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Remember that? And even in our founding documents that we remember on the 4th of July, the second paragraph talks about those unalienable rights, and among these rights are life. See, you hear the life going on right there. We are full of life and we appreciate that. That's great. Keep it up, no problem. And so living life for God is an exciting adventure. And then last week, you remember I mentioned victory, you know, and what does the Bible mean in victory? Well, I gave you some examples of how victory and obedience are kind of connected together, and how Noah and his family built the ark in obedience to God, and they survived the flood, and how Abraham was willing to sacrifice his child. You heard Pastor preach about that 2 weeks ago, the great faith and sacrifice that Abraham had by being obedient to God, even though it seemed kind of strange what he was being asked to do. And so Moses and the Israelites being obedient to God, also Gideon, the judge, Daniel and the lion's den, the three men in the fiery furnace, all those people, all those examples in the Bible, they were victorious because they obeyed God. And then there was a pattern I mentioned. Remember that? How does victory happen? Anybody remember the pattern I laid out for you that talked about how strength is conquered in what? Louder? Weakness conquers strength. That's right. Very good. Weakness, apparent weakness, what looks like weakness in the scriptures, is the way God brings about victory. Remember Gideon? He started with 32,000 troops, and everybody who didn't want to participate could go home, so 22,000 left, and he had 10,000, still too many, and then God takes them down to a stream, and they drink, and those that are wise, 300 of them end up being the army, and they whip a much larger group. Because weakness conquers strength. And in the life and ministry, suffering, death, and resurrection of Jesus, weakness, what looks like weakness to the world, conquers strength. Living in victory. Last week, we talked about being victorious in forgiveness and how hard forgiveness is and what a challenge it is and how we need God's help to be forgiving. And sometimes it's very difficult to forgive others. But God tells us in various places, especially the story of the unmerciful servant, the way you forgive is the way God will forgive you. And then there's that passage in the Lord's Prayer, forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Well, Pastor Bob today would like me to talk about truth. Boy, there's a great topic, huh? Let's see. Let's think about truth. Let's think about all the people that have ever told you a lie, either in person or maybe in public. Let's see. There's a presidential campaign going on right now, I've heard. And, you know, there's that old joke, unfortunately, that, you know, how do you know a politician is lying when his or her lips are moving, that sort of thing. But that's not true of all politicians, and I know several of our local leaders, you know, who are much better at that. But truth and lying, boy, that's a big deal. And it's nothing new. I'd like you to think for a moment. Think about a time you were deceived, lied to, or betrayed. I'll wait. Maybe it was recent. Maybe it was a long time ago. Maybe it was really, really significant. I mean, it really hurt. Family member, close friend, good buddy, somebody you worked with, somebody you went to school with. How badly it hurt that somebody wasn't honest and truthful with you. It's devastating. It's like being unforgiven. It's that kind of harm. And to gain victory over that betrayal, that sense of hurt, that takes literally an act of God. It takes the Spirit of God to come into our lives and give us a new sense of being born again, to be able to overcome, to be able to be victorious when somebody special lies to us, betrays us, deceives us. Nothing new there. It's been around a long time. We sang about freedom in a couple of our songs this morning, mentioned truth, and of course the 4th of July, we celebrate freedom. Remember that first 4th of July? We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, among these rights, life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. That's the first 4th of July. This 4th of July, think about that. Life, liberty, the pursuit of happiness. More about that later. Some scripture that applies to this. Unfortunately, when people are given freedom, think about when the kids leave the nest. Sometimes freedom is not what happens. Sometimes it's license, as in licentiousness. It's like, I can do anything I want. Well, no, that's not quite what freedom means. But that's not a new thing. Listen to this word from the book of Jude, you know, all 24 verses of that extensive book. In Jude chapter 1, verse 4, we read these words, "For certain men whose condemnation was written about long ago have secretly slipped in among you. They are godless men who change the grace of God into license for immorality and deny Jesus Christ, our only sovereign and Lord." And in 1 Peter, there's a similar problem going on. And in this first letter that Peter writes, chapter 4, verse 3, he kind of lists some of the things that people do when they think they can do anything they want. "For you have spent enough time in the past doing what pagans choose to do, living in," here's the list, "debauchery, lust, drunkenness, orgies, carousing and detestable idolatry. That's what can happen when some people get mixed up about whether it should be freedom with responsibility, whether they should live in a true and responsible way as free people, freed by Jesus from sin, forgiven by Jesus from our sins, or when they think, hey, anything goes, I can do whatever I want. That's not a new idea. And the idea of truth and lying isn't a new concept either. I take you back to the first few chapters in the Bible, when in the book of Genesis, when God creates man and woman, he says, the Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and take care of it. And the Lord God commanded the man, you are free to eat from any tree in the garden, but you must not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, for when you eat of it, you will surely die. And in the next chapter, the devil shows up in the form of a snake and says to Eve, did God really say, notice the doubt there, creating doubt, did God really say you must not eat from any tree in the garden? Lie number one. The woman said to the serpent, we may eat from the trees in the garden, but God did say you must not eat fruit from the tree that is in the middle of the garden, and you must not touch it, or you will die. Interesting that Eve adds that you must not touch it. God didn't say that. So I'm not sure she was intentionally lying, but she's misrepresenting the truth. And then the devil comes back and says, you will not surely die, the serpent said to the woman, for God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be opened and you will be like God, knowing good from evil. Well, there's some truth to that. That's what happened to them. They figured out the difference between good and evil. Unfortunately, they were no longer perfect, and the rest is history, and you and I are unfortunate heirs and heiresses of that situation. But the whole concept of truth and lying goes way back, way back. In the life and ministry of Jesus, people lied about him all the time. And when he was on trial, the fake accusations towards Jesus that he was blaspheming God and that he was talking about destroying the physical temple and all that, that's what got him technically convicted, you know. Think about the various situations in our own circumstance where truth and lying is a big deal. Anybody ever go to court and testify? Do you promise to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth? Huh? We take an oath when we testify in court about truthfulness. And when we lie under oath, they call it perjury, and it breaks the law. So the whole concept of truth and lying is a really big deal, and again, as I pointed out, it's very common. So, people say, well, you know, you have a truth, but my truth is different than yours. My reality is different than yours. You just don't understand. It's different. And that's what relativism is. Nothing new there either, where people excuse themselves. And they, you ever heard the phrase, little white lies? Yeah, no such thing, of course, in God's mind. God values the truth, and relativism is usually the way in which people try to excuse the fact that they're not being honest and truthful. Let me read to you, and if you wish to follow along, in John chapter 18, we have that story as Jesus is, quote, on trial. He goes before Herod, he goes before Pilate, he goes before the council. And in John chapter 18, 33, we read these words. Pilate then went back inside the palace, summoned Jesus, and asked him, "Are you the king of the Jews?" Is that your own idea?" Jesus asked, "or did others talk to you about me?" "Am I a Jew?" Pilate replied. "It was your people and your chief priests who handed you over to me. What is it you have done?" Jesus said, "My kingdom is not of this world. If it were, my servants would fight to prevent my arrest by the Jews, but now my kingdom is from another place." "You are a king then?" Pilate said. Jesus answered, "You are right in saying I am a king. In fact, for this reason I was born, and for this I came into the world, to testify to the truth. Everyone on the side of truth listens to me." And here's that famous question. What is truth? Pilate asked. Relativism is nothing new. With that, Pilate went out again to the Jews and said, "I find no basis for a charge against him." Trying to release him, trying to get out from under the obligation of making a truthful decision. Jesus says he comes to testify about the truth. Pilate says, "Truth? Come on. What is truth?" We've heard that somewhere in recent times, haven't we? And we hear it a lot. Here's a conversation between Jesus and the Jews that believed in him. Chapter 8 of John. Well, here we go. To the Jews who had believed in him, Jesus said, "If you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." They answered him, "We are Abraham's descendants and have never been slaves of anyone. Why should we worry about being set free?" they thought. "How can you say that we shall be set free?" Jesus replied, "I tell you the truth." In the King James Version, remember, "Verily, verily, I say unto you," verily, verily, from the Latin word veritas, truth, huh? "Verily, verily, truly, truly, I say to you." Jesus says that a lot. Jesus replied, "I tell you the truth, everyone who sins is a slave to sin." Now, a slave has no permanent place in the family, but a son belongs to it forever. So if the son sets you free, you will be free indeed. "I know you are Abraham's descendants, yet you are ready to kill me because you have no room for my word. I am telling you what I have seen in the Father's presence, and you do what you have heard from your father." "Abraham is our father," they answered. "If you were Abraham's children," said Jesus, "then you would do the things Abraham did. As it is, you are determined to kill me, a man who has told you the truth I heard from God. Abraham did not do such things. You are doing the things your own father does." "We are not illegitimate children," they protested. "The only father we have is God himself." Jesus said to them, "If God were your father, you would love me. For I came from God and now I'm here. I have not come on my own, but he sent me. Why is my language not clear to you? Because you are unable to hear what I say. You belong to your father, the devil, and you want to carry out that father's desire. He was a murderer from the beginning, not holding to the truth, for there is no truth in him." Remember the story in Genesis? The serpent, the devil. Did God really say, "No, no, God didn't mean that"? Here's what he means. The devil, the liar. "When the devil lies, he speaks his native language, for he is a liar and the father of lies. Yet because I tell the truth, you do not believe me. Can any of you prove the guilt of my sin? If I am telling the truth, why don't you believe me? He who belongs to God hears what God says. The reason you do not hear is that you do not belong to God. We live in a world today where in our own household, in our own neighborhood, the places we work, the places we go to school, the places we recreate, there is a lot of untruth. One of the problems in recent history is that we're having trouble figuring out who's telling us the truth. So-called legitimate authorities sometimes have very contradictory messages. Just think back to the COVID pandemic. Wear the mask, don't wear the mask. Get the shot, don't get the shot. Herd immunity, natural immunity, no. And reputable, credible, credentialed authorities said completely opposite things. Well, who's telling the truth? And in political debates, in political campaigns, choose your side. Who's telling the truth? Each campaigner accuses the other of lying, of being untruthful. And that's why God says, test the spirits, check out the validity of this, and test it against the Word of God, against what Jesus says is true. So, I go back to that first 4th of July, the Declaration of Independence. We hold these truths to be self-evident. Isn't that interesting? Now, notice the first truth is that all men are created equal, and even as Thomas Jefferson penned those words and the Continental Congress signed it and affirmed it, there was some fudging, some fibbing going on there, because all men were not created equal in revolutionary times, in colonial times. Everybody who was a slave was certainly not treated equally. And as most of you may remember from your civics or history classes, when the Constitution was first put together, the states that were slave states, they wanted the slaves counted because that would give them more votes in Congress. But the northern states that were not slave states, they weren't in favor of that because they didn't want the South, the slave states, to have too much influence. So they came up with this compromise and they said, okay, white men get, one-on-one kind of voting. But slaves we count as 3/5 of a human being. Check it out. 3/5 of a human being. Are all men created equal? Maybe not. They are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Well, some of that was true, not all of it. And even today, as our founding documents and our founding leaders, we'd like that to be true. But as we look around our own country, our own civilization and society, there are still inequalities. There are still untruths going on. And one of the things that God calls us to do is to stand up for the truth, not to be relativists, not to be people offering excuses, but to stand for truths. What seems self-evident in the Declaration of Independence is often challenged. We hold these truths to be self-evident. Everybody knows that this is the way it should be. That's what they were saying. Guess what? That wasn't true in colonial times. Certainly not true today. And so what is mentioned as self-evident is being challenged today. Settled, simple truth is controversial. Well, look at some examples. How about human sexuality? Think about that. How many genders are there? Oh, my goodness. You know, depending upon who you talk to, there's a bunch of them. I heard one person say, there are two genders, male and female. Everything else is a lie. That, That was her quote. Everything else is a lie, an untruth. See, I received an email from a friend of mine that speaks to this. And at the very end of the email, it goes like this. You can change your clothes and powder your nose, but in the end, your master knows. A man can't be a woman and a woman can't be a man. Pretend all you want, but you am what you am. Little poetic license there. Boy, you talk about confusion. You talk about misrepresentation. You talk about what seemed a while back self-evident, what seemed like settled, simple truth is being challenged and being controversial these days. The ways to God. This is one that Pastor Bob, as we were talking about this before he left on his vacation, he said, yeah, bring that one up. You know, there doesn't matter what you believe so long as you're sincere. I don't know if you've heard that, but that's been around for a long time too. You know, so long as you believe in something, some grand high being. If you've ever been involved in any of the 12-step programs or know about them, you know, Alcoholics Anonymous, Gamblers Anonymous, Addictions Anonymous, you have to believe in a supreme being. Doesn't have to be Jesus. It can be any deity. And, of course, many of our founding fathers and mothers were listed as deists, as people who believed in some sort of a God. One of the reasons that some churches frown on membership in lodges and so forth, particularly the Masons, is that they talk about the grand high architect of the universe rather than the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, the God that we worship. And the Christ who forgives our sins. And a lot of people say there are all kinds of ways. Doesn't matter who you worship. But let me recall to you the Bible verse that says, there is no other name under heaven given among men, but that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven, things in earth. Sounds pretty exclusive. Sounds too elite, but that's the message of the scriptures. And of course, the new morality, you know, anything goes. If you're not with the one you love, then love the one you're with. That's a quote from a rock and roll song several decades ago. If you're not with the one you love, then love the one you're with. Anything goes. We've, our whole morality has changed. I had a professor in college who said it very well. He said, the new morality is just the old immorality. And once again, nothing new. You don't have to go past the book of Genesis to find all kinds of immorality. What's the first bad thing that happened in the book of Genesis? Not Cain killing Abel, that was the second thing. The first thing that happened was animals had to die so that God could clothe Adam and Eve. Fig leaves didn't work. Had to clothe Adam and Eve with the skin of animals that were slaughtered to dress them. And, of course, Cain kills Abel, fratricide, brother killing brother. And there's rape and murder and betrayal and all sorts of issues just in the book of Genesis. The new morality is just the old immorality. Some of you will remember the story of Sodom and Gomorrah, where all kinds of bad things were going on and how they were destroyed. So the message that God wants us to have all the time, and what I would like you to take away from today, is God's truth. The truth will set us free, and it's true freedom. It's not license. It's not anything goes. It's not whatever you want to do. It's true freedom. And it's freedom because it's true from God's truth, not from human truth. Join me in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your revelation of truth. We thank you for the Word of God, not just in the Bible, certainly there, but also as your Spirit talks to us, heart to heart, mind to mind. And Lord, we pray that we can be your representatives, standing for truth, speaking the truth in love, always caring for those who are misguided and misunderstanding. Lord, help us to forgive. Help us to speak the truth in love. Help us to be your representatives in all that we do, wherever we go. In Jesus' name, amen.